All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back, everybody. My computer looks like it's running slow, so I'm going to turn the air conditioner on. Fucking stupid, Max. Sorry, I'm starting this show out in a bad mood because I've been breathing chemicals all day because they're working on some wood over here, and it's got, like, I don't know what they're putting on it, but it smells bad, and it's giving me a headache, and I'm in a bad mood. But what better mood to be in than a bad mood when we talk about taxation? Welcome to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off. You should, like me, get into a bad mood because the government totally sucks. We're broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico. I'm Dan, Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for Governor of Texas. And today I am joined by my awesome friend, Zach Taylor. Zach is here to talk to us about the impact of fear-mongering and solitary confinement has on the mind. Many people know the basic harms of the lockdowns, but we are here to take a deeper look. And as a special treat, we're also going to be talking about how much the VA sucks. Because, you know, a lot of vets have to deal with the same kind of crap on a bigger scale. But of course, before we get started, if you're watching the live streams, like and share and comment and ask your questions. Yes, I am watching them right over here on my screen, looking for questions and comments. And if you have anything good, I will read it or ask it. And of course, make sure you like and share and start a watch party and do all that cool stuff. Make sure to invite your friends to watch this live stream because it's going to be awesome. And if you're listening to the podcast while you're driving, turn it up so everybody else in traffic can hear you also. And then head over to taxationistheft.info and buy everything you can possibly afford. Why? Because that's what keeps the lights on. Kind of. Yes. And that and my day job. But, yeah, everything that we do over there, actually it doesn't keep the lights on. What it does is it pays for our counter-propaganda campaigns to spread the word that taxation is theft all around the world and end it. Yes, all around the world. We actually, with this podcast, reach Europe and Africa and Asia and Australia and South America and everywhere else. It is truly amazing what we're doing here. And I'm done talking because I know you're probably sick of listening to me because I'm in a bad mood. So, Zach, why don't you start talking?
I mean, that's a good question. Why don't I start talking?
Don't you ever stop talking?
No, not really. So I'm Zach. I am from The Low Castle on Facebook and YouTube, formerly of a lot of other places that you've probably seen me. But they all suck because I'm not there anymore. So that's how that goes. I am coming off of a job where I worked as a contractor for the VA, specifically in their healthcare department for disabled vets. And I have a lot of, without getting into super specifics, because I don't want to violate anyone's, like, personal
HIPAA.
Space.
HIPAA.
Yeah, I mean HIPAA, but I'm trying to think of like what that, like, privacy, that's the word I'm looking for. There's a lot of like general things that I can talk about and answer a lot of questions about. But what I originally came on to want to talk about is the effects that COVID is having on mental health, especially in the veteran community. I do want to start out by saying that COVID is a very real thing, and it is definitely having a huge impact, just the disease on the veteran community, because you're dealing with a lot of older people, you know, the people who are going to struggle with COVID the most. It is carving a bloody path through the veteran community. And I am not here in any way to say that it is fake, because it's not. I'm not here to say that we shouldn't be taking some precautions, because everyone should be responsible. So I think we can all agree that that is not the government's job to do so. And we should, when they talk about listening to the experts, we should be listening to all the experts, not just healthcare professionals, because more goes into a lockdown than just, well, the doctors told us to. I mean, there's a lot of other parts at play there that you need to listen to those experts too. But from the veteran community, to kind of map out what I've done, earlier in the year, the VA started with a new team, and I was on that team, to do notifications for when a veteran would go into the emergency room. So I would take those calls, log them, and get the authorization process going, because veterans have the right to use civilian emergency rooms for emergencies, as long as the VA deems that it's an emergency, and very quickly COVID was deemed an emergency. Other things that are deemed an emergency are suicidal ideation. That was already a huge problem in our community, and it got a lot worse. When I first started, I would take 1 to 2 calls about a veteran going in for a suicide attempt, or because they felt like committing suicide or harming themselves. I would take about 2 calls a week. When the first major round of lockdowns went through, that number was 3 or 4 a day.
Wow.
And those are the ones that we're catching. Like, we're stopping those people from hurting themselves. Or they reached out to someone and got the help that they needed. That's not the number of people who were falling through the cracks. And being a disabled veteran myself, I've actually tried to use those services. And the biggest problem is, if you are not immediately suicidal, they have nothing they can do to help you. I called their crisis line, and I said, I'm depressed and a little overwhelmed, and I need some help. And they're like, well, we can send you to a facility. And I'm like, well, that is not going to be helpful. What else can we do?
What kind of facility? They can send you to a facility. What does that mean?
They would admit me into a mental health hospital for like a week.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
And if you're not, for me, that would have probably actually pushed me over the edge.
Yeah, that's like sending someone to prison, and you know, like, oh, when they come out, they won't be a criminal, and they come out and they're like, you know, now educated in 50 million more crimes.
Yeah. So what I ended up having to do was go to the emergency room at my local VA, and they then tried to admit me, and I had to refuse that, and I refused to sign the paperwork they wanted. And it was only because I was very cognizant of what they were trying to do that I realized what that paperwork was for. So it was kind of sneaky, I won't lie, but I refused to sign their, go ahead.
So this paperwork would have had you basically committed to a mental institution for some period.
Not automatically, but if they would have deemed, if I would have signed it, that would have been signing my consent to do whatever they thought was best, which wow. Probably would have been that.
And this is kind of important, because this, you know, we had Nick Reed on the show a while ago, and he was talking about how he didn't give birth. His wife just gave birth, and they're in the hospital, and they're trying to push these documents on them to sign them. And he was like, let me read them first. And they're like, no, just fucking sign them. And they got into a big fight over it. And he was just, he left. And so that's why they ended up not getting birth certificates. But it was, it's the same kind of bullshit. It's like, sign this. You have no option. Just fucking sign it. And it's, maybe that's who I heard say this. If you had to sign it, you wouldn't have to sign it. Because they wouldn't need your signature. It would just be fact already. Like that's like a paradox, telling someone they have to sign something. No, nobody has to sign anything.
And I get what you're saying.
So like,
and typically that's where, like, if we're talking about like birthing and all that, that's where like circumcisions happen against parents' wills and things like that. I've heard those stories.
Yeah, it's fucking.
Is my mic a little better now that I moved it closer?
Yeah. Well, oh, I no, I was actually like, I thought you were using the mic on top of your head, so I was But like, I saw your levels going up and down, so I was like, is something not working here? But yeah, so it's just really interesting that they were like how far were they willing to pressure you into signing that paper, and like.
In my case, they gave it up really quick because I know the system really well, and they were quickly cognizant of that. So it wasn't worth it for them to sit there and try to press me on it, because then I might have left and blown the whistle on them, and that's not what they want right now.
Right. That's just so weird. But anyway, so continue the story. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're fine. So what ends up happening is I then go into the emergency room and I talk to a doctor, I get a therapist, I get some medication that's actually doing very well for me. And I've had a good run with that. So everything worked out. But part of me feels like everything worked out because I know what I'm doing, having worked in the system, having my dad have been in the system for so long that he's been able to help me kind of navigate it. The VA is a very complex system to navigate. And I'm very lucky that I've had such an easy time of it, especially some of the calls that I've taken. Okay, so I'm gonna try to tell this story without telling specifics because it's important, but I don't want to out anybody. Okay. Patient wise, I had a veteran call, not a veteran. I had a provider call, and the veteran that they had was a mental health patient, but also had a lot of blood pressure and heart issues. So the hospital couldn't keep this patient because of the mental health issues that he needed to have treated. And all of their sister hospitals had the same problem. They're like, we can't take a mental health patient and fix the physical health. We just don't have the facilities. And these are civilian facilities, mind you. All of the mental health facilities are saying, well, we can't take a veteran because or we can't take this veteran because he's got physical health problems and we don't have the facility to treat that. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, my local facility is Omaha. They have both, I think. So if they have both, then all these other VA, big VA facilities should. So I called 4 different VAs to try to get this guy a bed where they could treat his mental health and his physical health. And the first one said, no, we only take mental health patients and he has a physical health problem, so we can't take him. The second one says, no, we only take physical health patients and he has a mental health problem, so we can't take him. The third one said, well, we're just full and probably would have the same problem as these other facilities, but it doesn't matter because we're full. And the fourth one is that I got a hold of was like, they're too far away. So I've now contacted, with the provider on the line desperately trying to place this veteran somewhere, I've contracted 4 facilities. And finally, I go back to the first one that said that they could, or the one that said that they could do the physical health, but not the mental. And I'm like, I'm sending this guy to you because at the very least, you can treat whatever his physical problem is and maybe find him a mental health facility after that. And they're like, well, I guess. I'm like, I mean, it's your job, buddy. So these are the people you're supposed to be serving.
So they're not very eager to help. Sounds like
it's so. I don't want to say that that's a universal thing because there are. I've dealt with a lot of wonderful people at the VA who are there who were like me. They were there on a mission. They wanted to help, and those people exist. But it's definitely not everybody.
And I want to say, I don't know if we talked about this, or if it was somebody else, but about that the VA, they have their own facilities instead of just paying the bill to send them to civilian facilities.
They do both now.
Okay.
So there are VA hospitals and a lot of VA satellite clinics. And those, if you can get there, you get there. Right now, a lot of the VAs don't want people going into the VA unless they have to because of COVID. It doesn't really make sense to me because, you know, cancer isn't going away because of COVID. Mental health problems are certainly not going away because of COVID. So we have this giant hole where care should be happening and it's not. So all these VAs are actually empty because they're not seeing people. And it's gotten better as time has gone on, and they've realized that they can't live like that. But I can't count how many calls I would take from veterans who couldn't get long-term care at a local hospital because a lot of these hospitals aren't built for long-term care. They're an emergency room. The veteran goes in, they fix their immediate problem and say, here's what you need to do next. And that almost always involves go back to your local VA and get the long-term care that you need. And the long-term care just isn't happening. Like I was, and the thing is, it is happening in the civilian world too, because it took them 3 weeks to find a therapist for me, and they were trying. Like there was effort being made, but the local university hospitals were all like changing over their staff. Like it was a terrible time to be doing that, but like I think a lot of these therapists just got overwhelmed and left the jobs that they were at to start their own practices because they could make more money that way. And there's such a desperate need for these therapists that they have that option. And, you know, I can't even blame them for that, but it was really difficult for them to find someone for me.
Interesting. Yeah. And I've seen people I've known, I mean, like even before COVID, I've been work from home for like eons. And like, I know if I just lock myself in the house and concentrate on work for even a few weeks, a month or two, without really getting out to do anything, like you get cabin fever, you go a little bit crazy. And now a lot of people are being forced into that. And it's like, I know we see this all the time. I mean, I've heard, I don't have any statistics, but you know, I hear about people who like, I hear about, you know, luckily I don't know anybody who's killed themselves, but I know a lot of people who have friends and family who have killed themselves since this whole COVID lockdown thing started going on. And, I know it's happening a lot more frequently than it has before. I mean, I know these things happened before, but it's like in such a short period, it's been so many people. I'm wondering what the, I don't know if you have any statistics on that. I can probably Google that.
For me, it's anecdotally, the at least in the veteran community, the suicide skyrocketed. But I don't think those statistics are going to come out anytime soon, because that would be the government admitting that they mishandled this entire thing.
Right. Well, although they control, well, I guess they control all the statistics, because that goes through like what the Department of Health, something like that. CDC director compares rate of suicides to COVID-19 deaths. See, now this is confusing too, because they're saying right here roughly 146,000 people have died from COVID in the U.S. But there was another number that I saw recently that was like not even 100,000. It was a CDC number. I guess the CDC updated their numbers and they were much smaller or something. Do you remember that? That was like a few weeks ago.
I stopped paying any attention to the CDC.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Carl in the comments was talking about, so this is Iowa, so it would be my neighboring state, and that would actually ease, because I'm right on the border of Iowa and Nebraska. He said the Iowa Certificate of Need Board has denied several mental health facilities from opening. That actually really hurts the process right now.
Yeah, and I just want to explain for anyone listening, Certificate of Need is basically, you've got some evil rich billionaires who come along and say, we want to build a hospital, and the government says, no, you have to first prove to us that we need another hospital. And that's total bullshit. And the reality of it,
which is why there weren't enough beds for COVID to begin with.
Exactly. And you know, people talk shit about the evil rich billionaires who are just trying to, you know, they just want to build new hospitals so they can make more money. Yeah, that's true. At the same time, you also have evil rich billionaires who own the existing hospitals who don't want new hospitals because they don't want to have to lower their prices. So if you had to choose which evil rich billionaire's side to be on, which one would it be? The one who wants more hospitals or the one who wants fewer hospitals?
Well, this is why we just need to let government run all the hospitals, so that when a crisis happens, then they can be a ghost town because they don't want to take in new patients for fear of getting sick.
Yeah. Then they'll have so many empty beds. That's like a communist China way of doing things. They'd sit around and brag about how many empty beds they have and say they were doing such a great job. Look at how many empty beds we have. Meanwhile, they're just like burning all the bodies in the back.
Yeah, definitely.
This was literally like, communist China said during, I want to say it was during a famine, maybe it wasn't, but they basically said they controlled all the farms and they said, this is how much production we need from the whole country. So they told each farm how much they were supposed to grow. And if they didn't grow that much food, they would be penalized. Nobody wants to be penalized. So when they would give the food over, they would lie on their forms about how much food they had. And ultimately they had a shortage and everyone starved because they weren't producing enough food because people were lying, instead of a realistic system, a capitalist system or a free market system, where they would say, oh, well, this is how much food we have. I want to make some money. I'm going to grow some more. It's not my job. The central planning.
Are you talking about the Great Leap Forward?
Maybe. When was that?
58 through 62.
Yeah.
When
that could be.
Yeah. That was when they fucked that country up. I mean, granted, the Communist Party has been doing that to China the whole time, but that period of time wiped out unfathomable amounts of humanity. So many people died.
And now, I know, now we're just talking about China. Now they're throwing people, Did you see that? Like they're loading people on buses in Hong Kong now to send them to re-education camps.
I hadn't heard that, but I'm not the least bit surprised about it.
It's like,
are they going to put them there next to the Uyghurs and just fix everybody in China?
I mean, it's like these are probably the political dissenters who were speaking out against China taking over Hong Kong. And now that China's taken over Hong Kong, they're like, we gotta take care
of
anyone people.
Talked to that guy from Beam Libertarian Hong Kong in a while? Is he okay?
I have talked to him. I should send him a message and get him back on the show soon. I talked to him like a week ago. Because he said I was like, oh, that's weird. Why'd you send me a friend request? And he's like, oh, my old account got deleted. So. Which is weird, because
Mercedes. It's a concentration camp. I mean, if we're gonna call it a spade, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, really? I don't know what the fuck goes on there. I mean, I thought they were just gonna try to. Yeah, I mean that makes sense, right? Yeah, let's just beat the shit out of them until they admit how great communism is. But then it's like, okay, I'll go there. Oh yeah, communism's great. Let me go. And then and then I leave. Yeah, no,
you don't even have to beat the shit out of them. Psychological torture can be just as bad.
Yeah, but and I mean, like that's
you can do a lot of that without violating human rights and just beating people. You can do so much.
Yeah, but it's like the point is the same. Like you're not like somebody says, oh yeah, communism is great, I was wrong. They're not just gonna let him go at that point,
right?
Like that's not so Mercedes saying forced labor camps, who the hell knows? I don't know. Does anybody really know? I mean, they say that about North Korea, right? They say that supposedly they've got a lot of intel about what actually goes on there, and I guess there's like satellite images and that sort of thing. But
I mean, we've seen the Chinese camps pretty well too. They're set up the same way. They're set up the same way the camps for the Japanese in America during World War II were set up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what governments do. And I was talking to my cousin about this, who's probably the smartest person I know, and he's like. He was talking about kind of the one thing that I was able to say that really resonated with him was, you have a person when there's no laws, when anarchy is happening, a person can do a lot of damage. But historically, who does more damage than government? It's impossible. No one else has the resources. Governments set up these terror camps. Not terror camps, that's a different thing. But these concentration camps, governments, wipe out entire populations. Governments are the ones that are ethnically cleansing China and North Korea and all these other places where this shit is happening. People are rarely ever that powerful.
Well, and I want to say this because... You're right, and like the argument is always like, oh yeah, but then some warlord's gonna come along and he's gonna recruit like hundreds of thousands of people to go along and blah blah blah. Nobody ever creates again. I mean, look at the mafia. The mafia is probably, or like the cartels are probably like the biggest, most organized gangs in the world, right? And how big are they really? None of them are as big as the government, as any government. And it's because there are a lot of good people out there. And so you have good versus evil. But as soon as you call it government, government is like a criminal gang pretending to be the good guy. And so now they have the support of all the good people who, for their ignorance, are supporting a criminal organization because they don't know any better. But it's literally like you're getting the other, let's say it's 30% bad people and 70% good people. Well, if you convince the 70% of the good people that your criminal organization is good, you have such a bigger, more powerful organization. You can do so much more damage. Because if you lose the support of those 70%, that's where, and that's this guy, Gene, what is this? Gene Sharp. I was just reading this book from Gene Sharp. You know, he points out that whenever you have a revolution in a country, it's usually not from violent revolution. That usually never works because the government always overpowers you. It usually comes from the mass of the people recognizing that the government is wrong, that the government is corrupt and evil or criminal. And when they lose the support of the people, that is when you start to see change and that government starts to lose power.
And to push back against the warlord thing even further, I mean, we see it. I have family in Mexico, so it's something I keep track of because I'm desperately afraid for them sometimes. But there are times where the cartels will roll into a town and the town's just like, nah, bitch, we're armed too. Get the fuck out of here. And when you break down the government part of things, and if it's just a warlord, worst case scenario is the warlord forms a government and we're right back where we started.
Right.
But I believe
What if it's a less compassionate warlord that we have now and he doesn't give us things like roads in the VA?
Then he'll be overthrown immediately.
Yeah, that's actually true.
It's the compassionate warlords. That's
exactly the argument about the other 70% of the good people supporting it. Because if the good people, if we get that other warlord and he doesn't have that support, I mean, that's why people pay their taxes. So they can have the VA and roads, right? And it's like, if you're not getting that, well, I'm not going to pay my fucking taxes. I mean, we pay it out
of
fear.
If people really knew where their taxes went, like the argument that I'm seeing right now, and it's driving me nuts, is people are like, well, we shouldn't do student loan forgiveness because then the taxpayer is going to have to take the... No, they're not. The government is going to borrow a bunch of money from itself. It's going to print it out of nowhere. And it's not going to matter because that money isn't based on anything anyway. We'll get some inflation, but that's happening anyway. You won't notice a difference. Or you'll notice the difference, but you won't notice the difference from that particular portion.
Well, yeah. I mean,
taxpayers aren't going to pay the bill for that. It's never going to happen. We're never going to get out of debt.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's very true. But I mean, the inflation itself is real because that destroys our savings.
Yeah. But they're going to do that anyway. They're going to they want that to be gone. They want us
right. Well,
on the edge.
Yeah, they want us constantly in debt because the taxes that they force us to pay force us to go to work, which forces us to be more productive, which forces their billionaire corporations to be able to produce and export and them to have all the resources and take over the world.
This is why the Second World War really fucked over human history, at least in the West, because you had all these people coming home from war, all these men coming home from war, and women had replaced them in the workplace. So more jobs are created for all these men, but the inflation drove the actual purchasing power from any particular job way into the gutter. And that's by design, because now the government has two working people for every household when they used to only have one.
Which is really fucked up because you don't have time to stay home and raise your kids. You don't have time to spend.
So the government has control over them now too.
Yeah. Everyone, man. Everyone. It's so fucked up. And like,
we're way off topic at this point.
I know. Well, no, we're not, because this stuff is all very depressing.
And it's something that is getting worse because of COVID, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell has happened to our inflation the last year? You cannot possibly print this, this much money as they've done without it just gutting the economy. England has lost 30% GDP.
Carl is saying a fifth of all the U.S. currency ever printed was printed this year. But this is interesting too, because you look at the stock market and it's hitting record highs again, and like, but you would think like, I'm sure the GDP is the same thing, where it's like you're measuring the GDP in dollars, which are now inflated. I'm sure the GDP is going up.
Right. So then, you know, if we're talking about,
if you adjust it for inflation, it's probably going down. But are they going to really adjust it for inflation, or are they going to adjust it for the 3% per year that they claim to have stabilized?
Yeah. And so I don't know what America's hit has been. The only reason I knew about England was because I've been watching Sargon. But for an industrialized first world nation to lose 25% of its production power in the snap of a finger, really?
Yeah.
Like, people don't understand this. So these countries like America and England will ultimately be fine. We will ultimately get everyone back to work. The government will help everyone limp along until, you know, everything's fine again. We will suffer for it, but eventually everything will kind of balance out. That is not going to happen in the third world countries. They're no longer making money because they can't sell products to first world countries because no one has purchasing power anymore.
But here's the thing about
those people are going to starve.
Well, here's the thing about third world countries is they shouldn't, because if they're producing their own food, I mean, like, this is what it comes down to, right? Let's say I live on a farm, or let's say I live in a fucking commune with like 20 people, and we all grow and manage enough food to feed ourselves. And during the week, I go and I work my job and I make a shit ton of money, and I bring it back to the commune. And then every once in a while, we'll take this money, we'll take our money, and we'll buy things to benefit the commune, right? And then the government comes along and says, we're going to shut down the government, we're going to shut down the economy, so everybody has to stay at home. Well, shit, I'm staying at home with these 10 other people in this closed system where we produce enough food. Now, if you look at all of the third world countries as those closed systems, if you cut them off from the rest of the economy, as long as they were producing their own food to begin with, that shouldn't be a problem. Now, of course, it's not that simple, because you still have, even in third world countries, you still have dictators and tyrants who are trying to, you know, extract shit and you know, force people. But this is like Venezuela, right? Venezuela, if you look at Venezuela on a map from like Google Earth, it's all green. It is all like jungles and forests, and like you could grow so much food there. And yet the country is starving. Because you have the government trying to control where the resources go.
Mercedes is making a good point where she says urban areas are going to be the hardest hit.
Mm-hmm.
So as these countries are trying to industrialize and build economies that can work for their, in theory, obviously when governments do this, it fucks up, but industrialization does improve the lifestyle of the inhabitants.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So yes, the farmers in these villages in Africa aren't going to see a huge difference, but all the people living in those cities who are relying on being able to create products that are then sold very cheaply to, you know, the industrialized countries, their jobs are gone. And right. These are people that don't know it. They have been working in factories their whole lives. They don't know how to farm.
Right.
I don't know how to farm. Like, my garden sucks anytime I try to grow. I can grow tomatoes, and that's about it.
That's kind of it's not as easy as they make it look on Walking Dead.
I live in Nebraska, man. I should know how to fucking do this.
Grow some corn, at least. But, you know, it's true, but it's like, that's also part of the problem that, you know, as we come to adapt these greater lifestyles of luxury, like, I mean, this is all luxury, and then we take it for granted, and then it becomes a human right, and luxuries become human rights, and then we become so dependent on these human rights, which are really luxuries, that we totally forget how to live, if any of this is stripped away from us. And this is its dependency on another system. And if we really want to be independent people, like independent from Great Britain or independent from, you know, anything, whatever, independent from China in Hong Kong terms, if we really want to be independent, we have to not only be independent from government, but from large economies. And yes, we can look at the large economies and say, these are wonderful. They have so many benefits. I want to be a part of it. But we also have to remember, like, it's like keeping candles, right? It's like the power is going to go out from time to time, no matter where you live. Mm-hmm. Everybody has candles in their house, or they should have candles in their house, right? In case the power goes out. Now, that's a temporary thing, but it's really the same kind of thing. And yeah, urban areas are going to be hit the hardest. But they're like, even now when we see COVID, like we see people moving out of big cities into more rural areas. But, you know, vertical gardens and all this other shit, we can have food grown within these cities also. But even the big cities are becoming less of a necessity, because those were kind of created around either around extraction of natural resources or around where the big factories were. And now that we're kind of becoming a virtual economy where, like, we're able to transport shit all over the country, all over the world so quick and easy, and so much of the economy happens online and people can work from home, there's really no urgent need to live in a big city.
Hey, for survival. Man, I'm sorry. I'm getting kind of sick. I'll be right back, okay?
All right.
Sorry. If you want to wrap here, we can, but I'm starting to get sick.
I'll wait for you.
All right, I'll be right back.
I mean, if you're going to be good. I have that effect on people. So yeah, and I've got like this, I really have a killer headache from inhaling all these chemicals today. It's been a shitty day. What a shitty day to talk about depression. Carl's saying rainforests don't have a whole lot of nitrogen. Yeah, that's probably true. But, well, I mean, I'm down here in the rainforest. I guess the jungle. What's the difference between a rainforest and a jungle? I don't know. And I see a lot of people living off the land here. It's actually very common. And I talk about this a lot, I'm sure. You have families that go into areas of the jungle that have been carved out with, like, literally they carve out a grid of dirt roads, and people go there with, like, almost nothing, and they start planting. Frank says location, location, location. They start planting, you know, fruits and vegetables. They start growing, breeding chickens, and other livestock. They find a way to survive, and it is possible. And I think it's super important. This is one of the, you guys think it's hard talking to lefties about economics, and teaching them about inflation and this sort of thing. Man, talk to the people who are, and this is literally a luxury. Like, this is a luxury. Changed my mind. To live in a house that somebody else built, to have running water out of a tap that somebody else built and maintains a water tower somewhere that keeps pressure on that water so you can turn it on and have water that is often drinkable. To have a store that you can go to and buy food without having to kill and grow it. These are luxuries. This is like, what happens when the power goes out on that system? Nobody's prepared for that. And I think that's something worth taking into consideration, that as much as, 'cause I mean, we're always talking about the economy is going to fail. And, you know, and oh, yeah, well, if the dollar collapses, well, we're prepared because we're using gold. Well, that's fine. But what happens if you have a lot of gold and you still don't have any food because the dollar collapsed and so did the rest of the economy that's you know, delivering the food? that's growing the food and killing the food and bringing it to your doorstep. That's only going to get you so far. So, man, it's so quiet in here. The northern lights may be visible tonight in Iowa, Carl says. I'm gonna pop this open. Invest in lead, Frank says. Frank, if you invest in lead and there's nothing to kill to eat, what are you going to eat? Because you can't eat the lead unless you're trying to take the easy way out, which is exactly what we were advocating against by having this episode. It's, all the preppers have all these backup plans, right? Take other people's stuff. Okay, Frank. Take other people's stuff. So let's say everybody dies of COVID and it's just you and your gun and you run around robbing people. What kind of food do they have? There's probably a lot of canned food and some other stuff. And that stuff might last for 10 years. So you can wander around the country going house to house, taking other people's food until it spoils. You're not going to run out, but it's going to spoil. And then
you're talking about my fantasies now.
Yeah.
My post-apocalyptic fantasies.
So at what point, Frank is saying, I don't know how much you caught about that. Frank is saying, invest in lead. And I'm like, you can't eat the lead. And he's like, I can run around taking people's stuff. But if all you can do is take people's stuff, like eventually, after 10, 15 years, whatever, all the food's going to be spoiled. So you can take it, but you're not going to want to eat it.
Well, ammo begets hunting, which is...
But if you don't know how to hunt...
You'll learn.
You'll find something.
Hunting isn't really hard, especially if there's a lot less people. Because
if you're really hungry.
Yeah. You'll... Hunting is the difficult part of hunting is being able to kind of sit still and not spook something and to aim correctly. After a few days, you'll probably catch something, and then you'll get better at it. And you don't have to bring down deer every time. I wouldn't waste a 5.56 on a squirrel, but when you're desperate, you're desperate.
Right. But I guess that's kind of my point is, at some point, you're going to have to give up that luxury, and you're going to have to go back to that base level of survival of hunting and growing food.
I'm in a weird place with that because, I'm fat, so I wouldn't be super effective early on in one of those scenarios because I'm not in good shape. But I know how to do all that shit. I learned it in the army. Yeah. My guilty pleasure is to sit on YouTube for hours and watch how to build a Norman style roundhouse in 5 days using a saw and an axe and a knife. And so I love those kind of survival channels. I geek out on that shit so hard. And I always have to remind myself, you don't like sleeping on the ground, which is why I don't do that.
Right. Frank says he'll eat raw meat. He will. I've seen him. He'll eat the bones, too.
Cooking meat isn't hard. Making a fire is probably the easiest part of bushcraft. So if you're good enough to hunt something and kill it, take a knife and cut the meat out and cook it, man. Don't get yourself sick.
Right. But at the same time, oh no, he just enjoys the carnage of eating raw meat and getting blood everywhere. So this is still these are the survival skills that I guess I'm saying that we should have because we're talking about, like, yeah, those skills are eventually going to kick in, but, like, we should be able to, like, if the economy shuts down for whatever reason, we should be able to switch to that relatively simply and not get to the point where we're so starving that it's like, okay, fine. That's it. I'm done being vegan. I'm going to go stab an animal. Like, it shouldn't have to come to that. Because by the time it gets to that, like, people are going to be fighting over the food in the cans and that stuff instead of saying, like, oh, like, well, why don't we just go capture some food or grow some food? They're going to be like, oh, well, the only way I know to get food is from a can, and he's got the last can, so I'm going to kill him.
Yeah. Like, I'm the least, like, the least country person in my family. So... But even then, like, I would do fine. After I lost some weight, I would be fine. And then the rest of my family is like, I think my nephew would probably not notice that the world went to shit because he does that anyway. He's down in Tennessee, like, literally trapping animals. Like, he's that kind of person. So, hey, like, my family's ready to go. Yeah, we got this.
That's good. That's good to have someone like that in the family.
My problem is I would have to figure out a way to get down to Tennessee, where my land is. Mm. And my Jeep does not fuel efficient enough for that. So I'd have to steal someone's Prius or something.
I saw something that was actually kind of cool. Now we're going to go even further off topic. This guy had.
Well, no, this is on topic. When COVID kills everyone and we have to survive, that's what we got to do.
That's true. We established that. Somebody took, like, a Ford or a Chevy. I don't know. They're both crap. And they took the motor out and they replaced it with a drop-in electric motor that attached to the existing transmission. And turned it into, and then they, like, you know, filled the car up with batteries everywhere. And they turned a gas geyser into an electric car. I thought that was kind of cool.
You would, so for an end of the world scenario, you're going to want solar panels to go with that.
Yeah. Well, no, just think about it, man. I got this from listening to Bernie Sanders one time. What you do is, you still have the electric motor, right? So you hook it up to an alternator, and the alternator, while the car is driving, will charge up the batteries, and then the batteries power the motor. So you'll never run out of electricity.
Did he really say that?
No.
Oh. Because that's sounding like some real, I plugged the plug of my multi-prong back into itself for unlimited power.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. It's funny because I used to have these conversations because I used to be into cars a lot. And, you know, I had one friend who was like, he was always like, yeah, I like to drive with the windows down because the air is already going over the car. So it's not making the car less aerodynamic. But we're not using the air conditioner. So it's less electricity. So the engine has, so it's more basically fuel efficient if you drive with your windows down, which is total bullshit. It's not, because you're creating a lot more air resistance. But this is the untrained mind.
Unless you are driving a Jeep, and then it doesn't matter because it's all wind resistance.
And then the other one was a guy who was, he was trying to, like, race out his car and, like, you know, trying to, like, make it as fast as he possibly could. And then he put, like, this big, like, stereo system in it, you know, like a 5,000 watt subwoofer and everything. And I'm like, dude, you know, that's going to make your car slower, right? And he's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, you're putting more strain on your electrical system. He's like, no, the alternator's spinning anyway. And I'm like, yeah, but the more output it has to turn is more resistance for the motor, which makes your car slower, plus all the weight. But
this is one of those things where the apple fell really far on my family tree, because my dad and my uncles all built drag cars and won a lot of money on the streets of Omaha. And
nice.
I can change a tire.
Nice. Yeah, well, it's what I was going to say is interesting about this is like it would be easy, especially if these people posted this stuff on the internet, it would be easy for anybody to come at them and be like, yeah, you're so stupid. Look at this stupid guy. And we were actually talking about this before the show, about this girl who
I was going to say, this is a nice transition. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. Well, because I know it's been on my mind. But like, the reality is, like, we were, even when I knew this, like, even when I was having these conversations and like I was smarter than these guys, right? We were still like in college, like right out of high school. And they weren't studying electrical engineering or anything like that. So it's not like they had classes to teach them that kind of stuff. But this is, yeah. So there's this girl that she holds up two bills, a 20 and a 50, and they're like euros. So it's like made out of plastic. She's like, it's the same plastic. It's the same fucking plastic. Will somebody please explain this to me? And she went in, she kind of went off like into something stupid by saying like, why don't they just print more money and not inflate it? I don't get it. And I was like, okay, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But at the same time, like, she's asking for an explanation. She's not calling anybody who disagrees with her stupid. And people are getting in the comments and people are trying to explain it to her because she starts it out. Will somebody please explain this to me? People are trying to explain it. She's not insulting them. She's not going after them. But a lot of capitalists took it upon themselves, the libertarian assholes, to take her video and spread it all over the internet and say, look at how stupid this girl is. And I'm terrible at guessing ages, but if I had to guess her age, I'd say she's probably like between, I'm just going to use a wide range here, somewhere between 16 and 20. I know, I should be able to I don't fucking get it.
No, it's impossible to tell anymore.
Okay, so somewhere in there, right? She's pretty young. Like, okay, fine. Yeah. She didn't take a class on economics. She's asking somebody to explain it to her. Explain it to her. And like, now we have grown-ass adults, people who I know are 30 and 40 and 50, spreading this everywhere, talking shit, insulting her, being the biggest fucking cyber bullies on the internet. And like, I know it's not isolated to this. Like, I see this shit all the time. And I know it's difficult sometimes, right? Because especially when, you know, somebody has a profile picture of, you know, something that's like
an anime character.
Yeah, like a fucking, I don't know, remote control for something. Like, you know, people have like pictures that are not pictures of themselves, or sometimes it's a picture of their favorite celebrity. It looks like an older person, right? And it's, you don't know the age of the person you're talking to, so it's easier to think, oh, this person's probably my age, because why else would we be having a conversation? Mm-hmm. And you're talking to a much younger person who just doesn't know. And it's people just turn into assholes. And it's like, fucking, why don't you stop being an asshole and actually help to educate people? And then other people are like, oh, that's not my job. Oh, that person's too stupid to educate. And I don't have time for that shit. And it's like, well, why are you in such a bad mood?
So that always bugs me, because I think you can teach almost anything to almost anyone.
Yes.
It is incumbent upon the teacher's intelligence and ability to communicate, not the student. So right. If you can't explain it, it's because you're dumb, not them.
Which is funny, because one of the comments I read insulting her started out with, I don't even know where to begin. So you're saying you don't know how to start explaining what you know is wrong. Maybe you should try explaining it, and going through that process, you would learn where to begin. Mm. But like, people want to take the responsibility off of themselves, right? The same people who say the government should not be in charge of the schools wants to take the responsibility off of themselves and say, well, I don't want to educate people. Well, okay, so you don't want the government to educate people, and you don't want to educate people. Do you want to live in a world with stupid people who are obviously irritating you and getting you angry and raising your blood pressure and like taking your time away from doing whatever you enjoy doing with your life? You really want to live in that world. So you're just going to be stubborn on this.
This reminds me, have you ever heard of Rebecca Black?
No.
The girl that sang the song Friday, which is objectively one of the most annoying songs.
Yes.
She was like 13 or 14 when she does this song. And if you can, if you find like the original video, you can go in the comments, and there are 30, 40-year-old men sitting there telling this poor girl to go kill herself.
Yeah.
Because she wrote a dorky song and it doesn't sound very good. The auto-tune is really annoying. It's not a good song. Probably better than anything any of these guys could do.
Right.
Something about the internet, and everyone wants to say it's the anonymity, but I don't think that's entirely the case. I think there is a, for lack of a better way to say it, there is a concept of virtue signaling on the internet that when you hear some, like in this case, they heard something that was bad. It's objectively bad. It's a 13-year-old girl who has no idea what the fuck she's doing. She's not Britney Spears, and she doesn't have this huge conglomerate behind her making it sound good. She just wanted to make a dorky song for her friends.
Really? I figured it was, I thought it was like some Disney bullshit the whole time. I thought they were trying to make another Britney
Spears. It was
Spears
just this
effort.
Girl that her dad knew, if I remember correctly, her dad knew someone at a dinky little studio. And
wow.
They made this video. It was for fun. It was never supposed to be this big deal, but then the internet found it and it blew up. And you have these people that just couldn't help but virtue signal how much better they were than this girl. And arguably I would say they're not. Like, I don't enjoy her music, but I also have written music and have played music, and it's not easy. And I guarantee that 95% of the people that were slamming her, probably a higher percentage than that, couldn't do it. So to circle back, kind of what we were talking about, like, no, actually, you're the idiot. There, you have this girl who's asking a question that she doesn't understand. And all these people are lining up to take shots at her. I would argue they also don't understand why that's a bad idea. They might know that it's a bad idea because smarter people have told them that. But they themselves are not on a level where they can really be making fun of someone for not getting it. Because I don't think they get it either. And I find myself in that scenario a lot where it's like, I know that there's a right answer to this question, and I know what that right answer is, but I'm not exactly sure why. And I really think that it's something that we need to take as humans, not just libertarians, but especially libertarians.
They're the worst.
We need to do a better job of just, like, being okay with not knowing shit. And not, like, you're not cool if you're tearing into some poor kid that, like, we need to make kindness cool. That's what I'm saying, deep down.
Bring back Mr. Rogers. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, and it is kind of that. I don't know if it's virtual signal, virtual signaling. virtue signaling, or just you know, everybody wants to be like the gorilla that's pounding his chest the hardest, and mm-hmm. I think, you know, taking down, sorry, it's hard for me to talk because I really bit into my tongue a couple days ago, and like it's
ouch.
Still like I feel like I'm talking with braces, but it's taking down somebody on the internet makes you feel good because it's like you just pounded your chest bigger and louder than somebody else. And it's like
Ben Shapiro owns the libs with facts and logic.
it's like that's what it is. And like, okay, even with Ben Shapiro, I can like, except for when he was sitting next to that trans woman on that show, he puts it like he's a very cold-hearted fact dropper, but he never really says, I've never really seen him say anything like, you're a fucking idiot for believing that. Like, you know, he's kind of a snooty asshole, but at least he's dropping the facts and educating people, right? But like,
yeah, I will say he is rarely insult, like his tone and demeanor is insulting, but yeah, he is not insulting himself.
Right. Exactly. Which, and maybe that's, you know, nonverbal communication. Maybe that's still like kind of an asshole thing for him to do, but,
with him. So,
Listen, can we make this the next internet challenge? The next time you see something, the next time you see someone say something stupid, do the education challenge and teach them the correct way and have the best answer that doesn't include any insults in it.
But also, don't start it out with, well, actually. That's a no-go.
I feel like I can say that perfectly right now because of my tongue situation. Well, actually. Mercedes had a similar rant this morning. Did you watch the same video? Carl says it's not a hard thing to explain. I have to read these things backwards now. Yeah, it's oh man. Yes. Charles is saying I've had to work at it my whole life. Being an asshole, that is. Wait, do you mean you had to work at being an asshole or at not being an asshole? I think I know some people who actually work at being an asshole. But and it's weird too, because I know there's like the oh, I'm gonna get so much shit for saying this.
You won't, no balls.
Women are often attracted to the gorilla that's pounding his chest the hardest. And so I think therefore there are some men who feel that if they can totally beat the shit out of a 15-year-old girl on the internet, that they are therefore pounding their chest the hardest and the women will be attracted to them. That's not how it works, guys.
Guys, let me help you out. Women are attracted to the gorilla that is not just able to beat on its chest the hardest, but it's able to beat all the other gorillas. Owning a baby gorilla is not very impressive to mama gorilla. Just let me help you out there.
But this is also an important point, because the one person, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but the one person who really set me off with this, that I saw like spreading this, was a woman. So she was actually, you know, and I know there's a lot of
evolutionarily, that is a big thing as well.
Yeah, women beating up on other women because they want to eliminate
for the same reason. They want to be the lady gorilla that gets picked.
Right.
You know, it goes both ways. God, sex ruins everything, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
Because everything, and I think it was House of Cards said this. Well, I mean, it's been said a million times, but everything in life is about sex, except for sex. Sex is about power. And I think that there's a lot to do like that. If you really kind of dig into human behavior, that rings true way more often than not.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that, you know, they say money makes the world go round, but it's like, ultimately, what is money? Money is just power. So, really, mm-hmm. it's what do I want to call that? It's a placeholder for something else. It's a currency for something else.
So money is a form of power, but power can be more than money. Because right. if you were to ask me what I would rather have, power or money, I would say power. Because you can have a lot of money and still not have power if you don't know how to leverage it properly. Whereas if you just have power, there's an implication there that you have to know how to use it. Which I guess also leads into knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait.
Man.
So,
we're getting deep now.
If money is power, which it is, but like you said, it's not. I mean, you can have a lot of it, but if nobody wants to take your money, it's really worthless. Is money the type of power that is pacifying the entire population so that all the pedophiles running around with their actual power don't have any competition with us trying to beat our chests harder than them because we're pacified with this paper power that we have?
So the belief there would then be that the money isn't power. It's a facade of power.
Or it's power. Like, I can still have, if I have a lot of money, I can have power over somebody else by saying, I want you to build something for me, and I know you really need this money, so I will give you some of this if you do something for me. What is the purpose of slavery? It's to have power to extract labor from somebody. And so money is a more polite way of extracting labor from somebody.
Let's go more to the root. What is money? It's a concept of resources. So resources are definitely power.
Mm-hmm.
So if money is a representation of resources, then money becomes power. When we have money like it is now, where it's not really backed by resources, it's backed by imagination and belief.
Mm-hmm.
Money itself is not power, but people who have money typically have power because of they also have resources.
Right. Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, so money is a form of power. It's just a limited form of power. Like, I can't go up to, like, I can print $1 trillion worth of money, but I can't go up to, a bunch of people and say, hey, I just printed all this money. I want you to go invade another country. But the people who actually control a military force have such a bigger power that they don't need necessarily a lot of money, to control this army to say, hey, we're going to go over here. We're going to control. Yeah,
they control the army. They can take all the money they want.
Exactly. So I think it's like it's kind of like a higher level of power. So money is definitely still a form of power. But like you said, it's a control of resources, and it's an extremely limited resource in what it is, because ultimately it's still paper and it can just be decided to be worthless at some point.
And down the rabbit hole we go.
Shit. Well, hey, we're already way over the show.
Actually, we should have done this several times already. Everyone needs to go to YouTube and check out TIT Clips.
Ah.
It's our new Clips channel that we're working together on. I will probably, it's Tit Clips. I will probably upload several clips from this because I think we got into some really deep stuff and there was back and forth, and I'm egotistical and I want more videos of myself on the internet, but I'll be trying to pull from episodes and good rants to create more bite-sized clips for easy sharing. And you should start promoting that every episode.
Yes. I need to add that into my introduction show notes. Where's my fucking mouse?
We got things to talk about after we go offline here.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, and if you'll notice down here in the corner, there's a picture of what looks like an AR-15, but is absolutely not. It's just a piece of metal in a similar shape that is still unfortunately regulated by the ATF. And we're giving it away. So make sure you go to taxationistheft.info and register to win this right here. Oh, I spent all this time positioning my hat right here, and it's covered by the opener 3000, which is not an AR-15. But if you do win,
we're both wearing the hat, so.
Yeah. If you do win, we do have to ship this to an FFL dealer because the government totally sucks. And while you're at taxationistheft.info, buy something. Support the show and our counter-propaganda campaigns around the world.
Yeah, if you guys buy enough, then he'll have enough to start paying me and we can go full time and do this shit.
Absolutely. And we're going
to
start
I'll be able to make more clips.
We're going to start selling drugs soon, too, just to make some extra money on the side.
I am super excited for the selling of the, not drugs, but herbal remedies.
Yes. All right, guys. Oh, yeah. So, Zach, give yourself a plug. What are you working on? If somebody wants to find more out about you or contact you.
Well, like I said earlier, The Low Castle on Facebook and YouTube. Check me out there. I do daily memes like every other page on Facebook. And definitely check out Tit Clips on YouTube. That's another project I'm working on. You can check out Freak Show Entertainment on Twitch if you want to watch Dungeons & Dragons content. Otherwise, I'm mostly going to be trying to work here a lot more. So.
Do they have Dungeons & Dragons for PlayStation?
There are, like, current gen, no. But if you go back a few generations, there was Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance and Dark Alliance 2, which was my childhood. And I can recall spending hours upon hours in my basement, in my mom's basement, playing video games with my friends. Playing those games right specifically.
Yeah, no, isn't that amazing? Like, what was it? Like, I'm always looking for, like, some new game to, like, occupy all of my time, which I know is a really bad idea, but I do it anyway. And
Deep, like, Rock Galactic. 20 really? Bucks on Steam. You get to be a dwarf that runs around mining things in a party of four, and you shoot bugs. It's kind of like Starship Troopers meets Diggy Diggy Hole.
I might have to play with that. But yeah, I mean, like, cause I grew up on, like, well, no, let's see. I wanted to say Civilization 4, which was the best one, I think.
Civ 5 is the best one.
Really?
4 is second best. 5 is the best. And maybe that's because I played 5 and not 4.
And then there was, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, a few good games, and then they come out with, like, a newer version, and it's like, all I wanted was better graphics, but then they, like, totally redesigned the game, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Civ 6 is not fun. Civ Beyond Earth isn't fun either. You know what is fun? Another game, although this game will lead you down a rabbit hole of emptying your wallet quickly, is Europa Universalis 4.
Or yeah, no, not getting started there.
Have you seen it before?
No, I just, you totally got me with the, like, endless money pit.
So they have every year or two since it's launched, they've had a major content update. So, like, you buy the DLC, it's somewhat expensive. It's like 15, 20 bucks. But it is, like, major content updates that make the game better every time, arguably. But it's the kind of game where you pick a country in 1444 and play them all the way to 1820. And you're making all these decisions, like developing your provinces, building armies, trying not to be.
Is this on the metric system too? What the hell?
Well,
can I develop counties?
No, but you can in Crusader Kings 3, which is like the cousin game where it starts like Viking era instead of 1444. This company has games that start in, like, Roman times, and then that game will stretch for a couple hundred years, and then there will be a break, and then another game will start and run for a couple hundred years, all the way up until there's, like, Hearts of Iron 4 is, like, World War II, and then there's, like, a space game that they have. So, and I think that if you have them all, you can, like, string an empire from start to finish, but I'm not exactly sure how that works. I only have the one game.
Interesting. Anyways, guys, it's been awesome. go check out the websites. I'm going to go put a Band-Aid on my tongue. I forgot to open with this question. Which tax do you hate the most?
Me?
Yeah. It's not like there's that many of them to choose from.
Yeah. So being a homeowner, I'm going to have to say property.
Fuck yeah. Fuck that property tax.
Income would be a very close second.
Yeah. All right, guys, you heard it here. Let's get rid of the property tax. That's what I will do as governor of Texas in 2022. As long as getting rid of the ATF from Texas. Fuck those guys. I'll catch you next time on Taxation is Theft.